The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Of the United States, my wife, Melania Trump.
Thank you very much. You have all been very kind to Donald and me. From a young age, my parents impressed on me the value that you work hard for what you want in life.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
That you treat people with respect.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them. And even if you don't agree with them.
That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Warner Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm a little bit disoriented because I've just spent about 3 hours at the eye doctor, not for me, but for my son. And that was challenging. I mean, you sit, you wait, you go see the doctor, go back, sit out there and wait some more, and then wait some more. So it was trying. It was really trying. 3 or 4 hours at the eye doctor, just waiting and then getting seen and then wait some more and then getting seen again and then told to go out and sit in the lobby and wait a little bit more. And so it was trying, but it was all for a good cause because I think he needed the he had the procedure was laser surgery. He has holes in the back of his eyes, stuff that he was born with. So he's going to be needing that kind of treatment for the rest of his life. He's going to need to be monitored for the rest of his life. His, you know, because I had to do this procedure because they were saying he could lose vision in one of his eyes or both of his eyes. So we had to get this done. And now that we have it done, he still needs to be monitored, but maybe not every 3 or 4 months, maybe annually or something like that. And, you know, so that's what happened today. So hopefully I can do the show being and feeling a little bit groggy. Not angry, but groggy. At the beginning of the show, there was Trump's wife. Trump's wife. I don't know how many of you guys watched the Republican convention. I don't watch it. It's a show. That's all it is. It's just a show. It's Trump's show, the Donald Trump show. That's all it is, the convention. I do know that his wife was – he ushered his wife out at the beginning of the convention, and she gave a speech. And she gave a speech that was plagiarized. I'm pretty sure you guys heard that. I was stunned when I heard it. I mean, I saw parts of her speech, and I thought she did a good job. I didn't actually watch the program. I was just watching clips of it from the news programs, and it seemed like she had actually had done a pretty good job. But then you find out that it was stolen. The words she said was stolen from someone else. Those were not her words. They were the words of Michelle Obama back in 2008, when she was at Barack Obama's convention. He was being groomed to be president, 2008. So you think to yourself, how can the Donald Trump campaign be so stupid? You know, his campaign is falling apart, and you know there's people who are not willing to get on board. There's Republicans who are not willing to or want to speak at this convention because they just don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump has just made things worse. We're not saying that this is the fault of Donald Trump. This could be the fault of the speechwriter. His wife, Melania, says that she wrote the speech. It doesn't seem as though she wrote it because she could have. But if she did write it, she stole it from Michelle Obama. Plagiarism. One of the things about plagiarism, especially if you are in college or you're going to a prominent university or even high school, your teachers and your professors, they will get in your ass literally if you bring them somebody's work that you've copied that is not yours, that you are trying to put off as yours, as you being the author. I know, because when I was in college, I mean, hey, if you tried to plagiarize anybody's work, you would get an F. You would fail that class. You know what I'm saying? You will fail that class. You just do not plagiarize someone else's work. If you're going to use someone else's words, you have to give them credit. You just cannot use someone else's words or their work and do not give them credit. That's plagiarism. And you can get sued for that. You could be sued for that. However, it's still, from my thinking, it's still Donald Trump and his campaign has still gotten worse because his surrogates, Donald Trump's flunkies, are going around saying, oh, wow, it wasn't plagiarized. It was a great speech. They're going around lying about it as if we're all stupid because we believe that it's plagiarism because it is plagiarism. And they're trying to say, well, don't believe it's it's a nice speech. It was greatly given. She'd done a nice job with it. And it's not plagiarism. No, it's not. It's 93% of it is correct. That's a 93% lie. Instead of Donald Trump and his campaign actually apologizing for stealing Michelle Obama's words, they're trying to say that it's not and that we're all crazy to think that it's plagiarism when it's actually plagiarism. You know, these people are just crazy. They're crazy because they're trying to make us, the people, we people, think that we're crazy because they're nuts. They're going to try to put their ideology on us, that crooked crap on us. We know damn well it's plagiarism. Why not just come out and say it, you know, and apologize for it? America is a forgiving people. They would apologize. But for you to send your surrogates around these media outlets and to say that it wasn't plagiarism, that it was just a nice speech, she didn't copy it, she didn't steal it, or the speechwriter did not copy it. I'm surprised that Donald Trump did not look at the speech before she gave it, you know, and said, this is probably not right. It was a beautiful speech. I mean, she said it wonderfully in her native voice, her native accent, but it was Michelle Obama's speech. I'm not a great Obama fan, but this was just outright wrong. This is just more criticism for Trump. This is more evidence to why people will not vote for Trump, to why other Republicans will not support Trump. This is just more icing on the cake. However, they're going around saying that it's not that bad, it's not that serious, she did not plagiarize it, other people plagiarize, so why can't she? That's crazy. Obama plagiarized, George Bush plagiarized. These are weak-ass excuses. You just don't do anything like that. You don't do anything. Now, these guys are trying to play it off. They're trying to brush it off, brush it aside, and they're going to continue on with their convention tonight and through the rest of the week, acting as if nothing happened. You know, acting as if nothing happened, as if we're going to forget all about the ripping off of Michelle Obama's 2008 convention speech, as if we're going to forget all about that. They're crazy. And I've also heard that during the first night of the convention, a lot of people walked out. A lot of people just walked out of the convention. I guess they were just pissed off. They were just upset about something. It could have been the fact that she plagiarized the speech. If she wrote it, then she plagiarized it purposely. And then there's people saying that, well, she didn't write the speech. She had a lot of help with it, you know. And maybe her speechwriter should have caught those things. You know, this was purposely plagiarized. And I mean, if you're going to do so, how could you do something like this and figure out that you will not get caught? Nobody will not find this out. That's what I don't understand. Why would you steal something verbatim, just about verbatim, and thinking that you're going to get away with it? That somebody out there is not going to notice that that's not her speech. Those words do not belong to her. You've got to be stupid. You've got to be totally stupid. So this is more fodder for the Hillary Clinton campaign. This is all this is. Of course, we all know that the Trump campaign is going to play this down. They're going to say, wow, there's nothing to it. Leave it. Forget about it. It happened. It's not plagiarized. They're going to go tell us that it's not plagiarized. They're going to tell us that it's not a stolen speech when we know it is, when there's so much evidence of it being a ripped off and plagiarized speech. See, they think we're crazy. The Trump campaign think the rest of us out here are nuts. And they're going to try to say that we're crazy because we believe it's plagiarized when it is plagiarized. These people are nuts. They look professional. They sound professional. They look as though they have lots of money. And they feel as though just because they look professional and they're a part of Trump's campaign that we should take everything that they say verbatim and take it as being the truth. That is not going to happen. That's not going to happen, Trump campaign people. It is not going to happen. We are not stupid. We're not dumb. We're not cynical. All we know is that Trump will never be president. And this is just more proof that he is totally unfit. If I was a Republican, I would not vote for Donald Trump. I would stay away from this guy as long as I could. I probably would work against his campaign. I would do everything I could to make sure that this guy does not get into the White House, does not get nowhere near the White House, because he would be a total disaster. And that doesn't mean I'm in love with Hillary Clinton. It's just that I think this guy will be a hell of a lot worse, a hell of a lot worse. And I don't know how I really don't know how they're going to get through the rest of the convention without somebody coming along and say, hey, wow, your wife stole that speech. She sounded good saying it. She sounded good giving it, but it wasn't hers. They're going to play it off. I mean, Fox News is already downplaying it like it was nothing. But if it had been. If it had been a Democratic speaker up there plagiarizing something a Republican had said in the past, I mean, they would cut his head off, cut his or her head off, you know. So, you know, that's what it would have been. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I just got through spending 3-4 hours at the eye doctor, folks, so I'm a little bit groggy, so I might not be my top self. But I'm going to try and make it through this. We will be right back. All right, they're saying that it's going to be triple digits by Friday. City of Chicago, folks, I think I've said something about this on yesterday's show. It's going to be hot. Actually, it's hot right now, and we got everything. We got the air going in the studio here, but it is tough. It is rough, folks. I'm in my studio. I'm looking out here on the Broadway, and people are, you know, going and coming and doing whatever they're doing. And some people are just not dressed, you know. But it's going to be totally hot. It's going to be a monster. And I think during this time, if it's going to be triple digits, it's the best place to be is somewhere where there is an air conditioner. And always drink plenty of liquids. Water is the best thing, not soda. Don't go out and get a milkshake, you know, because I do think that those things, they're fattening for one thing, too much sugar for another. Water would be the best thing to keep you hydrated in this type of weather. Water, 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 water. Okay, keep yourself hydrated. If you have to be out here, and if you have to be out in this grueling sun and massive heat, try not to be out there for too long. A lot of us got to go to work. A lot of us have to go to school. A lot of us have to go shopping to the cleaners and to the laundromat, whatever. In this extraordinary heat, try not to be out there for too long. Even joggers, bikers, I would probably say do not be out here in that extreme heat for too long, because there's always a possibility of heat stroke. So we want to, and if you have an elderly parent or you know of an elderly person, you want to check on those people. You know, you want to check and see if they're okay, because too many deaths have been caused by extreme heat. Extreme heat. If it's not the extreme cold, it's the extreme heat. It's got to be one or the other. And that's awful. You know, but we have to do what we have to do to stay alive. You know, especially this is a summer that Chicago has seen in a long time. I mean, in a very long time. This is great, but you know, it's going to get a lot worse. Triple digits is a lot worse. You know, you'll be better off inside somewhere. And especially for the homeless, I would say for the homeless, please get off the street, find a air conditioning shelter or something. If you can't get into a shelter, there's always public buildings you can walk into with air conditioning, and you know, it will save your life. There's always the public libraries. There's community centers that you can go to. There's, other public facilities, cooling centers all around the city of Chicago and probably around America that you can go to cool off and also to make friends with other people who are trying to get out of the hot weather also. So the first thing you want to do is keep yourself safe and try to make sure that other people are safe, especially our older Americans. They're the most vulnerable in all of this. But when it's this hot, there's no one that's not vulnerable and susceptible to this kind of heat. It doesn't matter what age you are. You know, everything is not 50, 60, 70, and 80 and over. I mean, anybody could be, you know, young people, anybody can be susceptible to heat stroke. Doesn't matter. Age doesn't fit into that category. Anybody, anywhere can be die from heat stroke, being out in the sun for too long, the very extreme weather. If you're going to be out there, try to limit your time out there and try to limit any kind of activity, whether you're riding a bike, jogging, walking. You know what your body can accept, and you know what. If you feel like you can get out there and do it, it's crazy, but a lot of people love hot weather. They love it. Bring it on, you know. Triple digits, 110, bring it on, you know. But a lot of us can't stand it. And even some of those folks who feel that they love 115, 120 degree hot weather, they will also get heat stroke. Some of them are just silly. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is a place where making the world a better place one show at a time is always talked about, and it's always here. Making the world a better place, that's what it's all about. And that's, and saving lives, actually, and saving lives. Okay, well, yeah, we're going to be talking about this 100 degree weather, because in Chicago, it's the number one news. It's not the Republican convention. It's not anything. It's just hot. It's hot, folks. You know, but I love it. And we love it. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. But it's going to get extreme. And that's when we have to take safety measures. And that's what this show is all about, is giving you safety measures to keep you safe. You safe. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. Stay with me, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Keep us dumb. The media, in particular the local news, 50% of airtime is wasted on previews of the shallow stories that are coming up next. The lead stories are usually the most disgusting and evil things they can dig up for that day. For instance, anything involving black youth will be a top story. Anything involving black youth and violence will be even on top of the top story. Anything involving black on black crime will be a top story. Anything involving black on white crime will be an even more top story. So you get the idea. They lie about everything. The weather
That's
reports
true.
Are always wrong, except in places like Hawaii. And then they always have a daily health report by a, quote, specialist, except the people usually give out the wrong advice. And then they always end the report with, check with your doctor before following any of these tips. So that should tell you right there that it's questionable and suspect. Gas prices ending with 0.9 cents. I never quite understood this. Although I don't drive, I prefer to be driven. But I do observe things when I'm on the road. And in the early days, gas actually sold for 9.9 cents per gallon. So it wasn't dumb back then. But nowadays, it's ridiculous. And the day is coming when gas is going to cost 79.99 cents. And this display will look like this. Okay, this might be a West Coast thing, but it's gotten over here as well. I used to associate it with Valley Girls. Back in the 80s, 90s, we used to mimic the Valley Girls when they would say things like, oh, and I'm like so happy to like be here, and he's like really cute, and you know, like was like the insert word for whatever you were getting ready to say. And it sounds ridiculous. It did back then, and it still does. Okay, I know a lot of you are big fans of Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club, but I gotta say something about especially Costco's. Now, one, you have to buy a membership. When, what happened, people? Who's dumb enough to pay a store to allow them to shop there? That's number one. Then I heard they don't take food stamps. So there goes, you know, a big piece of your market, Costco, from the people who get food stamps. Why can't they shop with what their money's not good enough? So I just really have an issue with this because it's sort of like an elitist type thing. And I understand you have to buy in bulk and all of that. So, you know, me being single with no children living in my home, I don't see the need to buy in bulk. That's just the only thing I buy in bulk is toilet paper because I'm obsessed with running out of it. But other than that, I don't see stocking up on food or anything. Not at this point. At some point, it will become necessary, people, to stock up as we get closer to Armageddon. But for right now, you can still have just your little, you know, necessary items. But I don't like these Sam's Clubs, Costco's, and all these places that have turned it into just a real hustle. That's what it is. Okay, yeah, the prices are good. I get it. And you save money. But I understand it's always crowded in these places and that some of the deals are not that great. So bear that in mind when you go to these joints. Okay, so award shows are just an inexpensive way for the networks to bring out the top actors and actresses and performers and get them to appear in a TV show for free by offering them glory, a little gift bag, and some cheap little statues. That's really what it boils down to. Political parties are another hustle. In America, they have two goals: make the other party fail, and two, take money from lobbyists to refund re-election, to fund re-election campaigns, and then we re-elect them. That's pretty much what they do. Here's a little history for y'all. The Ford Model T got 24 miles per gallon. So what's our problem? Okay, useless ads. This is another way that they dumb down America. Millions of dollars are spent every day to advertise products that really don't need any advertising. For instance, Tampax. Everybody knows what they've got to do when that time comes. So to advertise them are just useless. This is something that you're taught at home. Before you even get out in public, you're taught about these things. So most people know what Tampax are for. And those ads, they just are making people dumber. Okay, another trend right now, which is also keeping America dumb, is the illusion that certain products, especially candy and dessert products like cake and stuff, are fat-free. To hell they are. I'm fat, and I eat fat-free stuff, and I'm still fat. So don't believe it. Okay, how they were able to pull this off, I don't know. But this is considered politically correct. A restaurant named Sambo's. And then you've got the sexy, and all of these things are stereotypical. You've got the sexy flight attendant. And then you've got my favorite, Aunt Jemima. Another case of political correctness is when they decided that calling homeless people bums were an insult, and so the word was changed to homeless. And I remember as a child hearing an adult say, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you're going to grow up to be a bum. And now, of course, people don't tell their children, if you don't work, if you use drugs, if you spend all your money and don't pay your bills, you're going to wind up to be a bum. No, they tell them you're going to wind up to be homeless. And, you know, political correctness, I don't even know where that term came from. But we used to say, call a spade, and basically that, you know, that's derived from the card game. But the message and the connotation is the same. I call it like I see it. I was homeless, and I was homeless because of a lot of factors, but one of them actually was because I was a bum. I was a bum. When I didn't pay my rent, I was a bum. When I put my weed habit over my bills, I was a bum. And when I indulged in a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford at a time when I couldn't afford it, I was a bum. So we call it like we see it. Another thing that these politically correct people have changed because they assume that we have a problem with it is that the handicapped are no longer called handicapped, they're called disabled. What's the difference? We still can't do things. I don't mind being called handicapped because I am unable to do the things that I used to do when I was not handicapped. However, it's considered more politically correct to refer to us as disabled. I don't see the difference. This is going to shock some of you, but most of you already know it. Most of that water you're buying, it's tap water. I've been drinking tap water. I put it in my fridge. I've been doing this for years. And guess what? I'm still here. You're wasting your money, folks. Most of that water came from someone's sink.
You're right about that.
Debit card, another scam. If you can't control yourself with a credit card, then you definitely can't control yourself with a debit card either. The only difference is that the debit card is only fun while it has money on it, so you can't borrow against the debit card. And that was the whole purpose of creating it, so that these people who don't pay their bills don't have to worry about it. And speaking of dumbing down America, a lot of you can't even spell it. Katie Couric, she's the queen of sympathy journalism. Every interview she does almost has some tears. And this is, you know, what the Illuminati eye of CBS wants us to believe, that they care. Yeah, believe that. Speaking of the networks, Fox used to have a terror alert where they would put up these little graphs to describe, you know, what stage we were in terms of the current threat level. And to the left is the one for grown-ups, and then on the right is, you know, little one for kids. They didn't do the one on the right. That actually is from somewhere else. But the one on the left, that was what they used to do. And they stopped this, thank God, back in 2008. And that was a good move, Fox, because it was dumb. Okay, another very cruel and deceitful dumbing down of us has been since the 60s. We've been pouring our hard-earned money into these charities for the cure for cancer. One, I believe they've had the cure all along, and two, it's a snow job on America because after 40 years, we are still giving these charities money. And these PhDs are still lying, telling us they're thinking up ways to cure cancer when they're really thinking up ways to get us to pay their salaries. So
exactly.
In over 40 years, if they haven't cured cancer, well, what do you think? You think it's coming? Okay, implants, whether it's breast or booty or whatever it is, this is another way that America has been dumbed down, especially you young girls who believe that this is what you need in order to have a successful and wonderful life. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't get it if you want it, but I'm saying shame on you if you're getting it because some guy tells you that you need to get it. And shame on you if you think that you're not attractive without it. Okay, I want to move on from that. The Macy's. Here in New York, we have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And let's put this in perspective. Every single float is promoting a product, whether it's McDonald's or Mr. Peanut or Lego toys. I think you get the idea. So what is this parade? It's really a 3-hour-long commercial. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And hear ye, American kids are being dumbing down. I probably said that wrong. I'm getting dumb doing this video. American kids are being dumbed down because of mainly these two things. And yes, I said it. These fast food corporations are making kids unhealthy, and they're luring them in by the droves by giving away toys. What better way to get a kid to beg for something than to offer a free toy? So they manipulate your kids into coming in, eating this garbage, and you get a toy every time you kill yourself. So here, kid, kill yourself. Here's a toy. All right, just some final thoughts. I like quotes, especially when they make sense. Winston Churchill, he had a lot to say, and most of what he said was written down. He said, when you're going through hell, keep going. When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. That makes a lot of sense. Val Patterson, who is the person that I've gotten most of this material from, he said, genius is inventing your own job, not applying for one. Think about that, folks. And if you're going to be hit by a car, be sure it's an ambulance. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's by Albert Einstein. Another one by old Al is the reason for time is...
All right. Okay. I've just got some news thrown across my desk here in the city of Chicago, and I'm in my studio. Hope you enjoyed that. We will... try to get back to her a little later on in the show, if possible. And I'm calling this show Dumbing Down of America and What Has Obama Done for People of Color? Okay? And you want to know, what has Obama done for people of color? Okay? Now, there, like I said just before, something has just been thrown across my desk, and Obama... You know, there's no doubt about it. He's saying, and these are his words, he's saying that he has the police officers' back. I mean, he has their back because he figures that people are out to kill cops. People are out to kill cops. And I've said yesterday on this show that I'm with Black Lives Matter. But a lot of people are saying that Black Lives Matter should be called a terrorist group. If there's anybody in the group, in that group, in the Black Lives Matter group that are terrorists, I do not condone that. I will not be a part of a group like that. But I believe most people who are part of the group are decent people, and they are out there for one thing, to stop police brutality. Now, is there thugs and the gangbangers trying to infiltrate the group, trying to be a part of the group, trying to calling themselves falsely Black Lives Matters? Of course, there's probably a few of them, but I'm thinking overall it's a great group, because these Black Lives Matters, from my understanding, they are protesting in and around the Donald Trump convention tonight, and probably will be for the rest of the week. And there is no trouble. They're peacefully protesting. Now, you may have a criminal group just reaching out and taking the name of Black Lives Matter, who are actually calling for the killing of police officers, which is totally wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. I mean, you're going to have, folks, there's no doubt about it. You're going to have bad guys. You're going to have criminals, no matter how much you talk and plead to these guys about stopping a senseless crime. You know, stop the murdering, stop the killing. Some guy, some person out there, they're not going to stop because they're criminals, they're thugs, they're murderers. This is what they do. This is what they do. But we can always try to talk some sense into these brothers and sisters, which sometimes is not going to work. It's not going to happen. But Lisa tries better than not trying at all. Now, these brothers and sisters who are criminals, thugs, calling themselves Black Lives Matters, is disingenuous because they're not. They're not. Okay, so we have to differentiate against maybe two or three or four individual groups calling themselves Black Lives Matters. You may have a group over here calling itself Black Lives Matters who are decent people. They just want to, they're just trying to stop police brutality. Then over here, you might be also calling yourself Black Lives Matters, full of thugs, gangs, murderers who are calling for the killing of police officers. That is not the real group. That is a makeshift group. That is somebody who's taking the name and trying to ruin it. Okay? Black Lives Matters, from my understanding, is filled with decent people, high school students, college and university students. These people are a part and is Black Lives Matters. Law-abiding citizens are the real Black Lives Matters, not these thugs that hijack the group and hijack his name, which gives the entire group a false title, I think. And for Obama to say that he has the policeman's back, to me, equates that he doesn't have African Americans back when they are unjustly abused and shot down by the police officers, when there is a whole hell of amount of proof showing this. He has their backs. I'm not against what he's saying, but I'm saying that what about having African Americans back when they are brutalized by police officers who think they're macho men, and that all of us should be, you know, when we see a police officer, we should cringe or something because you never know when they might come out and put a gun in your face. There's a lot of bad cops on the force. There's a lot of good cops on the force. And I've said this before. If the good cops do not turn in the bad cops, the good cops become bad cops. And for Obama to say something like that, I think it's just disingenuous of the people out here who have lost their loved ones through police violence. And Obama has to think before he says something. The violence on police officers were rooted in police brutality. Okay? Nobody is advocating, from my standpoint, there's nobody advocating violence on police officers. There shouldn't be anybody advocating violence on African Americans either. For him to say he solely has the police back, I think that's disingenuous as saying that, hey, police officers, if they're out there, shoot them. You know, this is Obama is getting a lot of criticism from not just me, but high ranking African-American leaders. They are giving him a lot of flack, you know, and rightly so. I totally agree. And I was listening to some of this stuff this morning. And I'm saying, wow, they're thinking like I'm thinking. They must be listening to my show, right? And even though his approval rating is, from my understanding, is at 50%, that's not good. It's not totally bad either. You know, it's not good or totally bad, but it's at 50% because it seems like African-Americans and people are going to like Obama no matter what he's done. Because in my estimation, he's done nothing this term. He's been in office 8 years and he's done nothing, absolutely nothing, at least nothing for African-Americans. He's done nothing for African-Americans. He's done so much for refugees coming over into the country. He had them come over. He gave them free food stamps. He gave them free housing. He's done things for Hispanics. There's no doubt about that. Latinos. Gay marriage. Nobody championed gay marriage like Obama. I mean, he championed this stuff. You know, he sent a letter out to every school in America to open their doors to people who identify themselves of another gender, even though they have not had any sex change, meaning that a boy who now identifies himself as a girl can go into a girl's bathroom, even though he still has his penis. Now that, that was, I mean, why? I mean, he champions these kinds of issues, but what has he done for African Americans? Absolutely nothing. Even Donald Trump have said, when I become president, I'm going to do more for the African American community than Obama has, because Obama has done nothing. He's right about that. He's right about that. Obama has done nothing whatsoever for the African-American community. He doesn't have our backs like he has the police officers' back. He's going to be out of office. He's going to be out of office January 2017. And now all he's looking for, basically, he's not looking to do anything gigantic or big. He's looking to solidify his legacy. He wants us to remember him for something after he's out of office. Every president does. He wants us to keep talking about him. But I think after Obama's out of office, I think it's going to be really, really hard for America to actually elect another African-American president. I think Obama has actually made it difficult for there to be another African-American president. I don't think there will be another African-American president during my time on earth. Maybe I'm on earth. I think Obama then screwed that up for us, you know, because he really didn't do anything. And Obama can, if you think about it, Obama right now can do something about the African American states. He has executive authority. I said several times before, Obama does not need the Republicans to really do a lot. He can do a lot without the Republicans, but he wants to compromise, and the Republicans tell him to F off. But he still wants to compromise. I mean, He's got a Supreme Court nominee that he can sit right now down, fill that seat, that vacancy on the Supreme Court. All he has to do is use his veto, I mean, not his veto power, but his executive authority power. But he will not do that because he wants the Republicans to give him a vote. And they say they're not going to do that until the next president. So Obama has really, really, I can go on and go on and go on, but there's nobody can say this better than the next guest I'm going to have on the show. And it will be a lot of criticism on Obama.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet. Because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama. We got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now I look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's the president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them.
He sure did.
I understand
he
he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boys' bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion? By now removing the sign off the door that says girl and the sign off the door that says boy and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says do as you please. Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election and stayed loyal. Even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said, we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalties into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room, but because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis and because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda and a foreign agenda. Every president. Regardless of who goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever, they're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election. And I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all are pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? We're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why were the colonies independent, but Africans were emancipated? The word emancipation is a business concept that speaks to transfer of ownership. The 13th Amendment was a transfer, a business transaction between the owner and the government. The emancipation means that you no longer own them privately, but the whole country owns these Negroes publicly. Eight years ago, the white man said, we got to find a way to push homosexuality, and we need to find a way to push the whole LGBT program in the black community to reduce their numbers and brainwash their children. But we have to do it in a way that they would accept. See, they have think tanks. The white man got think tanks. Think where they sit around and strategize, how do we push this on black folks? Because they said black people are largely not a homosexual people. Yeah, they've always had their gays in their family, but they know to stay in their damn place and keep that stuff out the view of the family. Am I wrong? Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said, I'm a little groggy, folks, but I'm trying to make it through this, and it's fun. It's really fun. And I want to say something. Like I said before, I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago. You can always listen to find me on Facebook, right here on Blog Talk Radio. But always follow me. I'm an author. I have books all over Amazon. You can check that stuff out. It's good stuff. And I'm on somewhere. Somewhere I'm on Instagram, Pinterest. I'm all over the place, but I usually say Facebook and LinkedIn because those two are the primary sites. I even have my own new website up. I just got through producing it and putting it up, designing it, and all that kind of thing. I'm just creative all over the place. What can I say? And I'm still thinking about this. triple digit weather that's coming. Yeah, I'm amazed at that. We got to figure out a way to stay cool. You know, even with your air conditioning on, you have to really, really stay cool. I'm begging all my seniors out there to really take care of yourself. This extraordinary heat is coming. It doesn't happen all the time every year, but every time it does, we need to take precautions. Because this show is all about making the world a better place, making the world a better place. And I want to say in Chicago, I want to talk about Chicago violence. You know what? One of the things I haven't talked about in a while is Bruce Rauner. Governor Bruce Rauner. He's the governor of Illinois. I haven't said too much about this guy. If you check out some of my past shows, I mean, I am really throwing this guy, you know, verbally speaking. And I haven't said anything much about him, I guess because he signed this stopgap budget, which is just a 6-month budget for Illinois. But I want to say something about Chicago. Just this morning, a 6-year-old girl was shot. And I think during the month of April, maybe May, June, July, if I'm not mistaken, there's been 10 children shot in the city of Chicago. 10 children shot. And this young girl that's 6 years old, she is fighting for her life. Some gangbanger. In all of this, it's always a gangbanger who cannot shoot straight. This little girl, like so many other little girls and like so many other children, was sitting on her porch. And she gets shot by a stray bullet because the gangs, the thugs, they can't shoot. They're shooting at each other, but they can't shoot straight. And the violence just goes on and on and on and on and on. And the police they're always saying before these things happen that they have a strategy or a plan. We have a strategy. We have a plan to stop the violence, the summer violence that is sure to happen. I don't know what the hell they're doing because they're sure not stopping it. These babies are being shot each and every day. They can't even come outside to play. They can't go to the park. They can't sit on the steps in front of their own homes. They can't play in front of their own homes. They can't even go to the parks, maybe not even walk to the store and back without winding up dead. These young children, they're children, they're babies. And the police can't find a way, the politicians cannot find a way to save our babies from these thugs who want to shoot. Who want to shoot. I said this yesterday on the show, when a police officer, a white police officer, shoots an African-American, it's all over the news. It's worldwide. I mean, everybody's ready to condemn the officer. An American shoots another African American. People are numb to it. And it happens all the time. Black Americans are susceptible to losing their lives by another Black American than any police officer. The percentages are way apart than any police officer. But I'm not condoning police brutality. No way. I'm just saying African Americans are hell on African Americans. And the thing about it, when they shooting the babies, the children, that's when, you know, we all should just get pissed off, because the police department, the politicians, they just can't protect the people in their city. That's one of their jobs. That's one of their criteria, is to protect. Maybe they don't want to do this. Maybe they want Black Americans to kill each other. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're dumb enough. They're stupid enough. They're uneducated enough, weird enough to go out here and shoot each other. And that's not right. We have to find a way to stop these brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters. We are, as long as we're on this earth, we're brothers and sisters. And we have to find a way to get these brothers and sisters to stop killing each other. Stop killing the children. Stop murdering the babies. If you want to shoot somebody, shoot yourself. Do not shoot the kids. This is a tragedy. They can't grow up. I mean, there was one child, I believe, that was shot a few weeks ago or a month ago. This child is paralyzed. This child will never walk. The police, I understand that some of it's parenting, but the police, they do have a part to play. And the police cannot be afraid to arrest these thugs. You got some police officers there, they are afraid to arrest these African-American thugs, gangbangers, because they feel that they're going to be on YouTube tonight. Or they might be worried that the department's going to get sued, or they might be afraid they're going to get shot. So they refuse to do their jobs, but they cannot refuse to do their jobs. They are being paid. I can understand some of it, but some of it I cannot understand. But we have to try to save babies from these thugs, from these murderers, from these crooks, who are going to continue to kill and shoot no matter what I say, what you say, what I do and what you do. They are going to still continue to maim and hurt. I've argued on this show many times, put down the damn gun. Stop killing. Stop shooting. I wish Obama had the balls to say that. To come out here and talk to these young gangbangers of putting these guns down. The police know where the gangbangers are. They can take Obama right over there to the gangbangers. Then they're not going to shoot Obama. All he has to do, but he won't do it. He will not do it. That's why we're saying that Obama is just not, he's not a Black president. He's more of a white president, because he does more for white people than he does for his own people. He doesn't give a damn about Black people. He really doesn't. And he hates to even talk about that issue. A lot of people giving him credit. I mean, he's at every funeral, which is great. Sometimes some people are saying he hijacks the funerals to make it more about him than the slain cops. But we have to find a way to save our children, to save our people. Because the politicians who are given a job to do these things, they are failing big time. The politicians are failing our youth, our communities big time, because they seem the governor, he's responsible for protecting the people of his state. He's not doing a damn thing. The mayor is responsible for protecting the people of his city. He's not doing a damn thing. The only thing he's doing is when somebody gets shot, oh, my God, I can't stand it. This should stop. Why don't you do something to prevent it? You are the mayor. You are the leader. We are here. This is your city. Why are you letting the thugs and the criminals and the bad guys take over? Get these people. Police out. I've given many solutions to solving the crime in the city of Chicago and elsewhere. I've given many of them. And I do think that they've been listening to my show, because they implemented a few of them. But still, maybe not enough, maybe not the right way, because people are still dying. People are still dying. It's sad that at the end of every weekend in the city of Chicago, 30 and 40 people are shot. That's a damn shame. Hospitals and clinics are inundated with gunshot victims. I mean, it's got to be a hell of a scene at some of these hospitals where the gunshot victims are ushered in every second. And the police officers just really can't seem to get this right. They can't. They hire a new superintendent, they get new personnel, new cops. Still and all, the plans, their so-called plans of lowering crime doesn't work. Does not work. These the politicians in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, just like I've just said, they're failing the American public. They are failing us. Yet they're still picking up their paycheck and not serving and protecting. And I'd be remiss if I just did not say once again to some of these thugs out here, these criminals, these uneducated assholes who are gunning down these children every weekend, the guns down. Stop killing each other. Stop shooting the children. Stop killing the babies. If you want to shoot somebody, shoot yourself. Stop terrorizing these communities. Stop advocating violence on police, because they will come pick your ass up and send you to jail. You know, and it's not a funny thing, and I'm not funny. I'm very serious about this. Put those guns down. Stop shooting. Stop killing each other. Black people killing each other, I mean, this has been going on for decades. I'm going to tell you something. You think that the white man cares if black people kill each other? No. They don't care. They look at black on black crime and laugh. They're grinning. Look, the black people killing themselves. The niggas are killing each other. You know, and they are walking to the bank. So when you're killing each other out there, you're just killing each other. You're just committing murder. It's just senseless. And the rich people, the corporations, the millionaires, they're looking at these young black thugs and just killing each other and just say, hey, wow, let them kill each other. Let them kill each other off. Maybe we can come over there and bulldoze that neighborhood and put up some more condominiums. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. You know, let them kill each other off. I mean, hey, wow, you know, let them kill each other. Let them shoot each other up, you know, until the neighborhood is just, until the community or neighborhood is vacant of any people of color, because they've all shot each other off. Shot each other. All right, let's bring in the bulldozers and put in the condominiums as he wrecked the 20-story business building or something. Prime land. And they can make money from it. So why not let the people kill each other? I mean, because when you're killing each other out there, who are you hurting? You're not hurting anybody. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your community. You're hurting your own people. You're hurting your neighborhood. But still in all, the politicians, the police, they have a stake in all of this. Because the people who are looking at Chicago, they are not looking at the killings per se. They're looking at the politicians. To why can't they do something to stop and bring down the violence? Chicago is the third largest city in the United States of America. And we have more crime than Los Angeles and New York combined. And they are larger cities. They're larger cities. Chicago is not the only city with massive crimes. But however, there's a lot of cities and towns around just as big as Chicago, and the crime is not as high. The crime is not as high. I don't know why some of these officials, politicians and police officers, police superintendents, do not look at other states and cities with a low crime rate and try to imitate that to lower the crime in the city of Chicago. Because when you have children being shot and killed just sitting on their porch or just outside playing in front of their house, it's pathetic. And you start to look at the politicians. You know, why can't you get a finger on this? I mean, you got some people out there, ah, let them niggas kill each other up. Who cares? Shoot them. Shoot. It's the AK corral over there on the west sides and the south sides of the city. And they're doing exactly that, shooting each other up. They can't shoot straight, so they hit a child or something. And it's bad. And I wished Obama cared about that. I wish he had the backs of those families who children die too soon, who children they have to bury when they were wondering, when they actually wanted their children to bury them. It's the parents that are supposed to be burying their children, not the children. It's the children that's supposed to be burying their parents, not the parents burying their children, if I can get that correct. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. Like I said, folks, I spent three or four hours at the eye doctor with my son, and it took a lot out of me because I knew I had things to do. And we're back, and it's been fun. I enjoy the show. I enjoy putting it on. We will be back tomorrow. We got about 6 more minutes left into the show. I'm going to try and expand the show another hour, and I'm going to try and expand it another day, too. Instead of being on 4 days a week, we're going to take it to 5 days a week because the show is getting popular now, and people are listening to the show, and people are wanting to be on the show. So we're going to have to expand it, and because I love doing it. I think it's great. I think it's great that people are wanting to be on the show. Let's see. Tomorrow, my guest will be Stanetta Anthony. We had a guest for today, but she didn't show up, so I won't bother mentioning her name. And for Friday, we have Yolanda Robinson. I believe she's been on the show before. I'm not sure. We'll have to talk to her about that. Oh, yeah, Obama said, we have your back, talking to the police officers. He doesn't have the backs of African Americans, and that's a problem. That is a real problem. All righty, we will be right back, folks.
Open eyes that we may see to follow thee. Thy loving peace.
want to thank everybody for listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check me out all over the place. Send me an email or inbox me. If you would like to be on the show, there's no problem about that. Just email me, inbox me. I'm all over the place. I'm easy to find. If you have a book or a product, if you want to talk about what's going on in the world today, just, you know, wow. I told you, folks, I'm really kind of under the weather today, and I'm losing my sense of thought. But this show is all about making the world a better place, and I hope you guys join me tomorrow and all next week. We should have some great guests on the show, some people who are really, really going to inform us about what they think we ought to know and why should we know it. And I'm going to say I will see you tomorrow. Hope you join me. Goodbye, everybody. Oh, shit, I went off. Okay. Okay. I never did that before.